And it is the Massive Report. It's Douglas Adams' birthday. I had to start the show off like that.
How can you not?
You have to. You're kind of required. Welcome, broadcasting live from Hendox in Old North Columbus, a.k.a. Awesome Town. My name is Matt, joined by Justin, Rick, and Sam this week after a bitter and saddening 2-1 loss to the Vancouver Whitecaps. We are now permitted to continue forgetting that they're in the league for at least another year. It's the one Cascadia team that just kind of sneaks up on you because you're really nobody talks about them.
Yeah, they're really not part of the conversation at all.
Yeah,
they kind of sneak up on you and beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, they kind of do.
they came prepared to win.
They did. And real quick, I want to plug this before we get into the talk. Monday nights, 8 o'clock, we do this thing down here at Hendox. $2 drafts, so make sure anytime you come down and join us, because it's a lot of fun. And we talk soccer for roughly an hour, sometimes longer, because I ignore Sam's cues to stop talking.
He does. And now that I'm sitting at the table, I can like put my fingers in his eyes when he ignores my cues or kick him in the shins.
Oh, it's going to be Larry.
My girlfriend's here, so you can just tell her to leave me and leave me and have me walk home.
That's
and then,
right.
Then it's even worse. So,
no, come for the podcast, stay for the drafts.
I will say this. I probably hear in the next, maybe not in the next couple podcasts, but probably after the first couple of games, home games of the season.
Yeah.
We're going to start having some people from the crew, some team players, some front office staff, some maybe somebody from the coaching staff here and there. And you know what? They come in here, they have a couple of apple juices with us,
yeah,
if they are of age, and this is a good time to talk to them.
Yeah, does that mean I have to start wearing pants to this thing?
You might have to start wearing pants.
All right.
I know, we're getting on summer and it's going to get warmer, but yeah, pants are
Does that mean I have to leave the kilt at home?
No, kilts are allowed.
Okay.
You can wear a kilt.
Okay.
Memo to self, buy kilt. So, first
the
of all...
The Massive Report kilt clam? Yeah, sure.
So let's, first of all, let's focus on just because I was just upset and angry pretty much all Sunday. So let's focus on some of the positives first, and then we'll kind of tear apart what exactly happened in the Great White North on Saturday. Actually, the first time the crew have ever lost a match in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not good, but if you want to focus on the positives, coming out of the commercial break at the half,
yeah,
into the second half, great feed from Ben Spies,
mm-hmm,
Arrieta, I mean, it was a rocket.
Yeah.
That just blew right into the goal,
mm-hmm,
and we caught about a second and a half of it.
Yeah, we caught like one pass.
CVP.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was really the highlight.
I agree that was a really good shot, really good setup. Once you actually got to watch the replay and see how that developed, I still don't know. I think there's like it's like the Nixon White House tapes, the beginning of that second half, because it's nowhere to be found at this point.
It was Josh Williams, I think. Inbound of the ball.
Part I saw, but there is no footage that exists of the kickoff. That's just not a thing.
Those
damn Canadians.
I think it actually has something to do with that. A bunch of the silence showed up on the field, and everyone forgot the entire first half. Or the entire first 20 seconds of the second half, rather.
I think the overall
I think like five people got that joke.
But anyway, overall...
Julia's laughing.
The overall camera work wasn't really that great.
Yeah, no, I was none too pleased. Justin, your impressions. What do you take away from this game? Positives only.
Positives. If you watch the ML, if you are paying the $60 a year to have MLS Live,
yeah,
you can go on there and you can see just how completely awesome Sportsnet Canada is. That's my positive.
Is it?
Yeah. It's really awesome. It's they are far and away superior, like, in every aspect of... It's like watching a completely different game.
Is it?
Than what Fox Sports now... Yeah, I'm not even joking. I'm not even
You have that look on your face like you're joking, which is why I'm asking.
So it was the Red Bulls in San Jose you were watching?
No, it was actually in Vancouver, shocking enough. Like, they... The only thing I have that they did wrong was they continuously spelled Andy Grunebaum's name wrong through the entire broadcast. That was it. They pronounced it right.
They were calling him Dave.
Yeah, Dave Grunebaum.
Dave Grunebaum.
Called him the Russian sickle.
No, that in Arrieta's goal was pretty good. And the one other thing I can see from a soccer aspect, if that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Well, this is a soccer podcast.
That is what we're attempting to talk about.
The Crew did a really good job of earning set pieces in Vancouver's half.
Yeah.
And that is our offense, it appears.
Yeah. Well,
And they did a very good job of it. And most of those were... Higuain did an amazing job.
Well, that's the thing. That was one of my takeaways is I thought we had good service into the box. Once we got it into the box, I'm not sure we knew what we were supposed to do with it at that point. But the service in was good, and I'm hoping, against hope at this point, that the finishing will come. 5 corner kicks during the match, 15 total shots on goal, 5 of which were on frame, which... You'd like to see that number a bit higher, but at the same time, Vancouver 8-3, so that's definitely I think that's a positive to take away that we were creating opportunities, not finishing those opportunities, and not necessarily handling those opportunities well. But there was definitely some creation going on.
Three on frame for Vancouver, and they scored on 2 of them.
They did. That's so.
Honestly, on one of them, if they didn't score, they would be Chivas. On the second one, I can't really blame Andy. That was a great, great, great shot by Kobayashi. Yeah. I mean, that was a fantastic shot, and it'll probably earn the goal of the week. You know, I can't really blame him for that.
Would you say that was his Kobayashi Maru?
I know that has something to do with Star Trek. I'm not sure what.
It's the unwinnable scenario Starfleet Academy.
Oh, right, because that's like the greatest. Yes.
Yes.
We were talking about whether
Captain
Kirk.
That I've ever seen that I really like.
Captain Kirk is the only one who ever got through the Kobayashi Maru. And that's what I'm saying it was Andy Grunebaum's unwinnable scenario.
Well, Rick and I were talking about whether he does eating competitions on the side.
I think he does. It's whole turkey.
If he does, whole turkey.
He's fit for
he ate 7
professional
last week.
You really
right before the game.
You can't lay this one on Andy at all.
No,
I mean, looking at it from a whole 90 minutes, the team let him down.
Yeah,
you know, it was bad turnovers, bad passing, no vision, no sense of urgency. It was like a bipolar version, 180 degrees difference from the game against Chivas.
Yeah. I would agree with that, and I think that there's, I mean, looking at this, and this was brought up, and I don't want to be the guy that's putting too many comparisons to other seasons at this point, because I think that's kind of, while everybody wants to, you know, it's futile at this point. It just doesn't, it's not going to, it doesn't help, in my opinion, but at the same time, you look at that 08 team, second game of the season, go to New York, play on turf, get stomped, right? The team has never put together 2 back-to-back wins for the first 2 games of the season. It's not happened. So you go on a West Coast swing. You only have to play these West Coast opponents once. And you grab 3 points. I think most people, if we would have drawn both games, would have gone out of there and been like, okay, I feel solid. I feel good about this team. We come up, we come back ahead in the goal differential, and we come back with 3 points instead of 2. Right. And I would have loved to have seen us get points in both games. Would I have rather had 2 draws? No. I'd rather win 1, lose 1, come back with 3 as opposed to come back with 2 points. But at the same time, you definitely saw some glimpses of hope. You saw some opportunities to build on with Vancouver. Will Bobby do it? I think that is the $1 million question right there, because you've got San Jose coming in here this week, San Jose, if I'm not mistaken, 1-1.
They're 1-1.
They're 1-1.
They lost yesterday.
No, they won yesterday.
Yeah, they lost. They lost the opening game
2-1 against the Red Bulls.
And so you've got San Jose coming in kind of a similar scenario, similar situation that Columbus is in.
San Jose is missing a lot of players too.
They are. They're missing Leonard. Mm-hmm. Who else do they have
Gordon,
out?
I think, out?
Yeah, Gordon's out. Yeah, you're right. You're right as far as this.
They're missing a lot of offense, I think, from what I saw from the Twitter feed on the New York game yesterday.
And honestly, in I said this on the first podcast we played, or the first podcast before the season started, we played Chivas at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because Chivas, you look at the Chivas that played against us, and you look at the Chivas that played against Dallas, and those are two completely different teams.
And if we can exploit San Jose for what they're missing right now,
yeah,
this might be a perfect time to play San Jose now than it is to play them later in the season when they're healthy.
Yeah. Well, and once you're done with that, you've got, you know, a third of your Western Conference schedule done. You know, and then you're focusing on Eastern Conference teams. A lot of you know, you go to D.C. That wraps up March, and it's going to be a day game at D.C., and D.C. is a little bit of a mixed bag as well. We don't really know what exactly to expect out of D.C. They've got, you know, a lot of people coming back. They've got a lot of opportunity as far as that goes. So they're you know, yeah, they started off the season not doing so well, but they, you know, we don't know who they are yet. And we don't know who anybody is, quite honestly, in this league. Nobody's going out there winning 4-0.
Everything is complete crap.
Except L.A. Yeah.
The one thing that I can see that is, like, that I've noticed in that last game, Vancouver's really good.
Yeah, they are.
That is a really freaking good team. And when you watch, as I did on the replay, on the Sportsnet Canada.
You subjugated, 5 minutes ago.
You subjugated yourself to it twice.
Awesome, yeah, I watched it twice. It's actually, I watched it 3 times. But I felt like I watched it anew when I watched it on Canada, because it's the Sportsnet Canada, because it's so good. No, but... like, but you notice, even during the national anthems, the Crew look like 11 guys who were on a 2-week sales trip up the West Coast. That's what they look like. When they're standing there, they look kind of disheveled and, like, kind of a little tired. A couple of the guys look like they were really into it. Vancouver, on the other hand, when you watch those guys, they look like a real, legit, professional effing soccer team.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I think a lot of that has to do with preparation. A lot of it has to do with just... like, their attitude coming in there. A lot of it has to do with coaching, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Rennie did an amazing coaching job in that game. And that Vancouver, in the attacking third, does some of the best, like, 1-2 passing that I've seen in the last couple years in MLS.
Yeah.
The Crew, we did not look very good. I'll tell you what, each one of the back four of our guys who we are putting a lot of reliance on this year got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Birdie better be better. That's all I got to say. He looked bad at some points in that mm-hmm. game, and he got exposed by that speed. And the other thing too that I got to say, Danny, oh my goodness, man! If Marie was here, she could try to talk me out of it again. But this guy, he has got to pick it up if he's going to be the holding mid on this team.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the things that he did were just... it just made no sense. Like, little passes, square balls to just guys who were 20 yards away from him that had no pace.
Mm-hmm.
And they were easily intercepted. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's holding a spot until Matias Sanchez can get ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then please, Matias Sanchez, get ready to play. But other than that, he looks really, really unready, unfit almost, to be out there.
He's not quick enough.
He's just not good enough. I don't know how else to say it. His skill level is just not, you know. And we talk about this too. This is something I've been writing a lot about I'm going to post this on Thursday, I think. Comparing this team to the 2008 team is very tempting. It really is. There's a lot of similarities, and the Crew, to their credit, I think they're trying to sell this as, you know, the rebirth of this massive season.
They
saw what happened when a team that wants to play like that comes up against a team, an MLS team, in 2013. It is 5 years on. This league is different. They play a different kind of soccer. And we're just not, we're not moving that at that pace that, like, a Vancouver does or a Portland does.
To the extent, though, I mean, the 2008 team crapped the bed a few times as well. You look at the away game, and I was at that game, and it was not a good game at all. The away game at Houston in 2002, in the middle of I think it was September, where it looked like nobody wanted to be there, and it looked like there was so this definitely. I mean, even with a different coach, a different lineup, things like that. I mean, those things happen, and so I think the. Not the positive, but just the thing to look, the glimmer of hope behind it is that it was one game. And they definitely looked like they, at least in the Chivas game, they looked like they were coming out, they were going for blood.
In the second half. And in the second half of this game, too.
In the first half as well. I mean, that strike, Williams' strike right at the beginning of the game, they didn't play... They weren't the best team on the field for 90 minutes, but they were the best team in the field for the cumulative 90 minutes.
It looked to me like they were kind of trying to get their bearings, too, in the first half. I see what you're saying. And, like, don't mistake me. I'm thinking this team has the legitimate shot of going for the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
And of doing very, very well. And I think that they will.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, there were so many things in that first half that just really worried me. Like,
yeah.
To watch some of the basic things that this team, like Josh Williams, looked bad at times. Like he was just not up to speed. And again, it might be the 2 weeks on the West Coast. It might be, you know, being away from home, having the schedule kind of disrupted, and Eddie Gavin has got to come back.
They went to a Lakers game.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. Eddie Gavin was out. Everybody shits the bed.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. You're a pro.
You know,
you pick up the pieces, you throw whoever you throw in his place.
Yeah.
You have to pick up your pace. And it, like I said, it was bipolar between the first game and the second game.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this game against Vancouver, in my opinion, was worse than any preseason game they played.
Even the Montreal game? The Montreal game was pretty bad.
I think it was about the same level of bad as the Montreal game.
Okay, I mean, it's a level...
I think they created a lot more chances in the Vancouver game, got more set pieces, got more corner kicks. They got corner kicks in the Vancouver game, and I would agree, other than that Montreal game, it's probably the worst game that they've played, but, you know, obviously everything Montreal and before doesn't count, so...
I think that the win against Chivas... made us to a certain degree forget that Bobby likes to use the first four games as preseason.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that was expected. I think at best, some people expected a 1-0, 2-0, maybe. I expected a draw, honestly, from Chivas at the Home Depot Center.
Yeah.
And to a certain degree, winning that first game was like, all right, no, they're more prepared this year. And it's like, yeah, not quite.
Yeah.
But then again,
we also
have set Chivas to go 0-34-0. I think it was you who said that. And then what did they do? They win the next game.
They do, but they were playing Dallas.
Who takes
Dallas seriously without Brett
Shea?
But
looking at the guys who tweet and four that cover the Dallas, formerly Burn, now FC, I don't think they were expecting that after Chivas gets shellacked by the Crew 3-0.
No.
They're like, oh, Dallas should be able to put a decent game up against Chivas. And, whoa, maybe Chivas is not. Maybe Chivas does have a decent game.
No, I honestly believe after watching some of the highlights from that Dallas game, I think we played Chivas at the right time. Gave us some confidence going forward, got our first win out of the way, got our first win under our belt, and then Chivas can go out and do whatever they want with their new system and their new players and their fire sale and all that, because we don't have to play them again at all. So
I would have been okay if the Crew had lost to Vancouver, if they had played, for the most part, a complete game, but they didn't.
Yeah, but I think if they played a complete game, they would have won. Or at least drawn.
If they would have only eliminated the mistake, I mean, if we're going to consider that both the goals that Vancouver got were on two mistakes, I mean, the goal that the Crew scored was legitimately beating the other team.
Yeah.
The goals that Vancouver scored were legitimately capitalizing on our mistakes.
Oh, sure.
Had we eliminated those mistakes, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
But you look at the mistakes that they made in the first half, the Crew.
Yeah.
That should have been a 4-0. Vancouver lead it.
Oh yeah, we should have been royally screwed.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
But hopefully that's the catalyst for them to learn, improve. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't I we could tie against San Jose, but they improve on some of what they've did.
Yeah.
That's an improvement in and by itself.
I agree. We're going to come back in just a little bit here. We're going to talk a little Dare to Be Massive. We're going to see how massive we can dare to be. That and a lot more. And then obviously we'll talk about Cruisemas Week. It's all coming up. This is the Massive Report live from Hendox.
We're not fans. We're not spectators. For us, it's not just a game. It's the beautiful game. It's 90 minutes of pride on the line. Throats raw, hands numb. It's a chant, a pulse like a drum beat, a heartbeat, the pounding footsteps of a breakaway run. When you take us for granted, when you doubt our passion, when you attempt to push us around, we tend to lash out. We're not fans. We dare to be part of something bigger. We're family.
And we're back. Segment number two on the Massive Report. You just heard, actually, during the break there, the brand new commercial that came out literally a couple of hours ago.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock from the crew. But I guess to get kind of into our Dare to Be Massive topic for the second segment here, let's start with that. I want to kind of get everybody's initial reactions to it. And obviously, it's a television commercial. We'll have the link if it's not already up on Massive Report. We'll have the link up to the commercial so you can check out the video element.
We'll just post the video.
Perfect.
Underneath where we post the podcast.
Okay, so if you're looking at this right now and you want to see the video, just pause what I'm saying
scroll down.
The video will be right there. We'll wait for you.
Control Alt Delete.
We're waiting for them right now.
Don't do that.
Oh, we don't have to do that. They paused it. Never mind. They paused it. Okay. That makes
sense. Computers all across Central Ohio are exploding because of Rick's advice.
If you want to see the video, hit your CPU with a hammer for 5 minutes, and then it'll show up. That's all you have to do.
This is how they do things in Soviet Russia.
In Soviet Russia, video watches you. So... wow. So kind of let's get everybody – I want to get everybody's kind of initial thoughts. I've watched the video a couple of times now. I already posted on the inner tweets my thoughts on it. But Justin, kind of what do you think?
I think it's great.
Uh-huh.
It's really good.
It's really good?
Yeah.
It's really well produced.
I can't wait to see it on Fox Sports Network, which is not as good as the Sportsnet Canada.
You know what? I'm going to start pulling O Canada here right now for you. Just for you. That might be our intro to
Justin
the next
is
segment.
Renouncing his citizenship later tonight, just so we can watch Sportsnet Canada.
What, are you going to root for TFC now?
American television's great. What time's that Dynasty come on again?
Oh!
That's a valid point, sir.
Zing!
That's a point, Justin. Rick, what do you think?
It was very well produced.
Yeah.
Probably the best pro sports commercial I've seen for Central Ohio ever.
Mm-hmm.
Crew's been around since 96. Columbus, the Blue Jackets, since 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. It's their inaugural season. They have a new commercial the Blue Jackets do this year. It's good, join the battle, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't have the punch that the Crew's new commercial.
I see what you did there, Sam.
It doesn't have the punch that the Crew is. And it's two different games, yes, but I think the marketing for this, they're marketing to the hardcore fan, and that's what they need to do.
Well, I think that one of the things, just in my initial kind of viewing of it that I liked, is that it really kind of has that emotional pull on it, and it really kind of brings up the whole family aspect and the whole, you know, what a lot of people say about this team and what's different about this team than other teams in Central Ohio, what's different about this team than other teams in Major League Soccer, and kind of it really does kind of pull on the Columbus attitude. And you made a very interesting point, Justin, off the air, and I'm going to pull you into this point because I don't know if you're going to make it or not, but I do think it's an important point to make, is that this commercial would have been fantastic in 2009.
Right, and I think you just said something that is important. I mean, you said that it's different than... This team has a different fan base than other teams. It just does. I mean, the market's different. The city is different.
We're weird. We're mutants.
Yeah, I mean, Portland's weird, too. I mean, Don Garber said something the other day. I can't remember what context it was, but I saw a tweet that said, you know, it was regarding Colorado. And someone said, you know, did Don Garber like accidentally call me an urban hipster.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's what they are trying to do. They're trying to corral that urban, for lack of a better word, urban hipster market.
Yeah.
That's what that commercial does. No, I look at that commercial, it's really well produced. It's really, it's well done. I mean, mm-hmm. we recognize the people who are in that as yeah. people we meet. On the other hand, it's an MLS commercial. That is not a Columbus Crew commercial. That is a Major League Soccer commercial. That ties completely into the Major League Soccer branding that is going on.
Persona?
It yeah. does. No, it's the not, same fonts. It's the same. It's the March to Soccer font right. on there. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad.
Yeah.
Don't take this as criticism. It's not. I'm just saying that that is not something that is unique to Columbus. What has happened is that in the last 2 years since, here we go again, Portland came into the league. They set a standard,
mm-hmm.
and you know when I saw that for the first time 5 minutes ago, you know I kind of laughed, and I laughed because it's perfect, it's good, it's what we need, and I just think to myself in the whole context of Crew marketing over the last few years with all of this the factory whistles that we've heard and the same music since 1996, Go Crew. That cracks me up.
One Nation on yeah. the side.
Yeah, to see that, like, an actual legitimate commercial well, that sells the team. But still, I have to say, that is not a Columbus Crew commercial. That is a Major League Soccer commercial.
But if you look at the commercials, and I think especially the television marketing, starting last year with the commercials that they put together last year, and going forward, I think that even had the... Not stamp of approval, but the kind of attitude that the league was going for, the Dare to Be Massive commercials that they did last year, and that was and I'm now spacing on the name of the company, but it was done locally. I know that the spot yeah, was done yeah. locally, and Susie, who's in the video, actually posted the name of the company, and now I'm completely spacing on it, so I'll have to look it up during the break. But it was something. It's not like. Six camera guys from New York showed up and right. made the commercial. I think that there's probably marketing wise some sort of
you know, Frankie's in there and there's he's yeah. from Columbus. I mean it's look, it's done in Columbus. It has Columbus written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But the style of that is it's the overall league marketing, and the league is doing so much better now.
Yeah.
And you see it on the what is it, NBC Sports Network commercials. They all have the same feel. All of the ads that are on the MLS website have the same feel, and this fits perfectly into it. I think it's great. We've been pulled into the league in terms of marketing. It's good.
Well,
it's
really great. The biggest thing with this year with the marketing, whether it's from a league standpoint or for Columbus, and I think you're totally correct in saying that this has that Major League Soccer feel to it, this commercial. But you look at what MLS did with the March to Soccer before the season began.
Yeah.
Look
that was huge.
They're marketing, the way that they're marketing Major League Soccer to the United States, to the casual fan, it's a dangerous sport. Not necessarily physically dangerous, but it's almost like that forbidden fruit.
Edgy. Mm-hmm.
You look at the... Edgy. Exactly. Look at the music they use. They use Black Flags Rise Above.
Yeah.
I mean,
of
NBA,
course, Andy
NFL...
Rollins is doing Lexus commercials right now.
none of the other Major League sports go that route.
Yeah.
They're going to use something safe, something poppy. Or what's, you know, the flavor of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What does MLS do? They go back to 1982 and grab Rise Above by Black Flag, and it's like, boom, in your face. I mean, as you can tell, I'm a huge Black Flag fan, but it's like...
Since we're on the radio, Rick just showed his Black Flag tattoo. You
know, I've got one too, but I'm not going
to
show you.
But that spoke to me on not only a soccer level, but as on a musical level too.
Yeah,
you know, I think you bring up a very very good point about they're finally starting to turn that corner from we're gonna bring in the families and we're gonna bring in the children to okay, this is not a joke
yeah.
anymore. This is serious. Mm-hmm. This is how the world plays it, or this is how we do it. And I will say this. If you go back and listen to our podcasts from back when we first started, back when we were at Fido, you will know how much we have ragged the daylights out of Crew marketing.
Yeah.
Because it sucked.
Yeah.
I will have to say that in the last couple of years, they have made leaps and bounds and advancement that I don't think I ever expected to come out of them. Yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. I actually mean that in a very positive way. I think their marketing, I won't say prowess, but if you look at how they did in the off season when it comes to the MLS awards, when it comes to marketing, new ways of marketing, they actually swept the board. And the fact that they're doing it the way they're doing it now, I think that they're doing it right. Yeah. Now, it needs to expand a little bit outside of the whole 270 belt, outside of the surrounding counties, maybe go a little bit further, maybe Dayton, maybe
that
Akron, maybe.
That will come.
But at this point, if you look at where they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this is a huge improvement.
Can I disagree with one thing, though? I think that you're right. And you need to expand eventually past that 270 border. But the fact that they are aiming directly to the heart of the city with this is so great.
Yeah.
Because for years, they have done nothing but say, hey, Gahanna suburban families. Hey, Westerville suburban families. Hey, Dublin suburban families. Hey, Grove City suburban families. Come be the base of support for this team.
Yeah,
yeah.
The kids who have been, I said, boy, that was almost a slip. The people who have been absolutely overlooked for year after year are the people sitting like within a mile radius of where we are right now.
Yeah.
How many times did I go to games back in 2009 where I'm walking to the stadium from where we live, and like people would stop to me after I walk back from the game and they'd say, "Hey, was there a Crew game tonight?"
Yeah,
it's
you can
Saturday
hear
night.
And see
the stadium
from
is
your
right
house.
There. I'm a half mile from the stadium. What do you mean, is there a Crew game tonight? And like my initial reaction was to blame that person.
Yeah,
and then I finally understood. No, it's not that person's fault. That person has a life. That person has a job.
Unlike some of us.
Right. And they,
unlike most of us.
And unless someone comes up to them and says, hey, do you want to be a part of this? They're going to be like, what are you talking about? Does Columbus have a soccer team? Unbelievable.
I have noticed, and it's been within the past probably 2 or 3 years, walking back from the stadium. Because I live 2 blocks west of the stadium. And I have noticed more and more and more and more people, especially people who live within viewing distance of, oh, there's a stadium there and something's going on, asking me who won the game, asking me, becoming passively interested in the Crew. And I think that in and of itself, I mean, when I lived in Dayton, we had to walk back to Ruby's to get to the car to get back to Dayton. People didn't even talk to you back in 2007, 2008, that sort of stuff, up until right around the playoffs. And then people, oh, there's a playoff team in Columbus. That's weird. Let's support that, you know.
Why
are you wearing a Steelers shirt, boy? Don't you know this is Ohio?
I wasn't saying that they should take their focus off. I actually think it's great that they are focusing inside the 270 loop. I really do, because Chris and I had an incident one time where we were at Fideo and some lady asked us what the Columbus Crew were. He smart-assed and said,
did Chris punch her?
It was a rugby team. But I'm the one who lives out in the suburbs, since you guys all live near here. But I live out in the suburbs in Westerville/Gahanna/outer edge of Columbus.
Uh-huh.
And I wear a lot of Crew gear because I have a lot of Crew gear in my closet, therefore. But when I'm walking out, if I'm at Easton or if I'm at Polaris or if I'm at even at church or whatever, I work out.
Oh, okay.
Wiggle.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not go there. But I hear a lot of people, like, I'll hear somebody at the mall be like, go Crew!
Yeah.
I'm like, where'd that come from? I'll turn around and I'll see somebody wearing Crew gear. I don't get the dirty looks that I get from my HSH shirts. People used to look at it and be like, why does he have a skull with a soccer ball on its head?
That boy in a biker gang.
Them people are crazy. But then now people look at it and are like, hey, love HSH or love Crew Union or go Crew. And I'm like, yeah, go Crew. And I'm like, that wasn't there 2 years ago. That wasn't there 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been covering this team for 5 years. This is my sixth year covering the Crew. And this is like, this is starting to move towards the direction that it should have been moving in 2008.
Can I say one thing, though? Like, it's great that they've caught up to us, but it's like my motto. They are always 2 years behind us.
Yes, they are.
So this is the challenge I'm putting out to you guys in Crew Nation, who are Crew fans, who have been driving this bus, this sea bus, for the last...
The short bus.
This is the challenge that you have to face, is that you need to now push it further. And I'm not even... you can take that for what that means, but you have to push them further. Make them, instead of following the Portlands, instead of the, you know, yeah. finally jumping onto what Major League Soccer is doing, push them further. Make them let you do things in the stadium that they're not comfortable letting you do right now. You know, make them do these things.
I mean, we're starting to gain supporters from outside the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, which
a
has...
A significant
which,
amount of
which,
them.
Which really... says how passionate the people who know about the Crew well, how passionate they are about expressing why they are passionate about their team.
I thought it was really interesting, and just to kind of piggyback on that supporters outside the U.S. thing, there is another guy, and I apologize because he's probably listening because he told me he listens, and I'm completely spacing on his name right now. As usual. But
make up a name for him.
Make up a name. We'll call him Alfred. Well, he's actually Batman's butler, and he lives in Perth, Australia.
Also,
he does not know Chris.
Oh,
he has
really?
Never met Chris. Well, until he started following the Crew, he had never met Chris before.
Well, you know,
two random guys coming around to the Crew from Perth.
We came up with the name for him the other day.
What's that?
The Perthic Stranger.
Supporters group. That is the best supporters group name ever.
Does he have a kangaroo that attacks the postman too?
I think they all do. That's kind of the rule down there. You don't have dogs in Australia. You have dingoes or kangaroos, and they both attack the postman.
Another guy from Australia that we're going to try to have on the podcast, aren't we?
We are. Oh, we gosh. Are. It's going to happen.
The big challenge right now is the fans. The Crew's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
The fans, it's up to them to help drive it.
I agree completely.
Rick, you're from a different generation. I'll say this. I won't say
you're old, Rick.
I'm old.
I don't mean it that way. You know. But you're from a different generation, and a lot of people say, well, the generation gap within the Nordic is not really that huge. But what do you see as somebody who doesn't usually sit in the corner? Well, not yet. I mean, you're getting there, but that's...
I was there last year.
They don't have any walker access. That's the problem.
Get off my lawn.
Get off the lawn. Forget about it.
Feeds it.
I'm from New York, so it's one of those things to where our whole attitude, my whole attitude is, it doesn't matter what your age is. What you have to do is, it sounds so cliche. You support your team with a fervor. I mean, you bleed black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it, moving out here from New York, and I've been out here, 9 years now, very much, I'm still an outsider. Because there's, whether it's musically, even soccer, a lot of the people I work with that I know outside of the Crew family don't understand the beautiful game. It's up to me. I'm every day trying to convince them. Watch it on TV with me. Come to a match with me. I'll convince you that this is a great sport to watch.
If nothing else, you'll get to drink a lot of beer.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand.
That happens.
But that's the challenge, I think, that every fan of the team has to do. They've got to convince people that they work with, their friends, come watch a match with us.
The other aspect of this, too, is that I can't think of a better sport that represents your city than soccer. And the Crew for so long have kind of abdicated that responsibility of being the city's team.
To Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, they would literally say, I remember watching video of marketing events 2-3 years ago and them saying, well, you know, you can't really compete with Ohio State. That's not what your job is. It's not to compete with Ohio State. It's just to represent the city.
Yeah.
Do something that Ohio State really doesn't do, which is be Columbus. And, I mean, Ohio State is a bigger thing than just the city. It's almost a separate thing in the city.
But they have to come to terms with being Columbus.
Yes, and they haven't yet.
I think they're starting... Exactly. I think they're starting to. And I think... I wouldn't be surprised if they really learned a lot from whatever the organic things that we as supporters do... On our own.
Part of it is the fact that most of the people who have been running the team for the longest time aren't from here. And they kind of look at Columbus like a stepping stone. They have in the past. I'm not going to say present tense. In the past, they've looked at it as a stepping stone to, like, the NFL or whatever. I mean, now we're in a situation where they're starting to realize this. Do you know, this is one thing that came up today, too, in McCullers' Mark McCullers' digital forum that he had. They were talking to, someone asked him about rebranding and changing the logo and things like that. And he said he wasn't going to change the logo, he wasn't going to do these things. I love the logo. I think our crest is the best crest in soccer. However, if you look at the crests of Major League Soccer teams, mm-hmm. I think there's one team that does not have the name of the city on its crest. Do you know what it is?
It's us.
It's the Columbus Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
never really thought about that.
I mean, this is something that has driven me crazy for the last forever. Why is this not the case? How are you going to have a team that represents your city if you're not willing to put the city's name on your crest? Now, from a design aspect, it's going to be hard to put that on there in some yep. regard and keep it looking the same.
You could ask Arsenal.
But but you could do it. You could totally do it. And it's the one thing that I would change about the crest. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only one. That is it. Now, I mean, you look at other teams. I think maybe New England Revolution is just a little...
Yeah.
They might not. But, you know, it says Revolution on it. But I'm pretty sure that it says New England on it. But still, that's the one thing I think they need to do is... embrace the city. This commercial is a really good step towards that.
Yeah, and I think it kind of ties into what we were trying to talk about as I smacked the microphone accidentally. You know, you look at McCullers and his whole Dare to Be Massive and that entire thing that's going on right now. He did an article, it was on thecrew.com a little while ago. It was talking about season ticket sales. It was talking about how, and we keep hearing, it's at a clip, it's doing better than it did last year. It's doing better year over year. And it's... apparently season ticket sales ever since Dare to Be Massive have come out have done year over year over year better. And so we're going to come back from the break here in just a second. We're going to talk about season tickets. We're going to be talking about Dare to Be Massive. And
there's lots of events going on this week. So,
and we'll talk about all the game day events coming on this week. And then after that, we may talk about the match.
Remember this. Everything that you have ever experienced in your entire life has brought you to this instant. All things now are possible in the limitless void of counter-actuality. All things, too, that are knowable will be realized in this new dimension of Bikini Girls with Machine Guns.
I don't know what just happened there. I think I need an adult.
It's the cramps, baby.
I know, but I think I need an adult. That's all I'm saying. It's the Massive Report. We're back. Segment Trace, if you're counting at home. Live from Twa, if you're counting at home. Live from Hendox still. I don't know why you'd be counting that, but it's certainly something to do. Monday nights, 8 o'clock. Come out and join us. $2 pints. Served to you by the most attractive bartender in town, Willie.
Very, very cold.
Willie is a pretty, pretty man. That's all I have to say.
If he's in his ear, he'll dance with you.
We talked about it. Willie and I actually talked about this during one of the breaks, is that apparently we've scared all the riffraff off because we have not had a bum tossing here for a good while.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss that. So if you're homeless and in Columbus... No,
and you're listening to our podcast.
And you're listening to our podcast. Have a couple pints, creep in the women's restroom, and then Willie will throw you out. And it will be for everyone's entertainment, even if you're not homeless.
I'm still waiting for Julia to start dancing tonight.
Julia, yeah. I don't know. She's drinking water. I think she finally had her first beer.
We're number one. Thank you.
She is telling us we're number
Thank
one.
You.
That's fantastic.
Yes, we're number one with my middle finger, you know.
You know. Oh, hey. That's a thing.
So, and that's Julia's interruption for the night.
Yay!
Hooray. Julia has nowhere to go, so she's here. So I did want to get down and talk about... McCullers did an interview and was talking about, you know, the Dare to Be Massive and the goals that were set. I had originally remembered it being a two-year plan, but apparently it's a three-year plan.
It has been
a three-year plan. Okay, then I was completely mistaken as far as that goes. Not releasing any numbers. Now, Patrick and our good buddy from Helltown Beer, Larry, they were talking online, and the speculation at this point is somewhere between 5,500 and 6,000 full season equivalents this year. So that's obviously up from a couple of seasons ago. Obviously, that's getting its way towards the 10,000 goal. Not there yet. By a long shot, but definitely, and I think something that with increased marketing and increased promotion on it, we'll get there. Obviously, Barbasol deal, that's done, that's locked in. There were some hints over the off season and right before the first game of the season that there may be a stadium deal on the way. It was definitely talked about.
Victoria's
Secret Stadium, or White Castle's Craven Cottage. Those are the two front runners in my
awesome.
Yeah, I know. What do you do, Victoria's Secret Angels Stadium at Columbus? Is that what we call it, Angel Stadium at Columbus?
Angel Stadium at Columbus. The Los Angeles.
The
how about Angels
Victoria's
of Anaheim
White
at Columbus?
Of
what?
Columbus.
Victoria's Castle.
Victoria's Castle. That sounds a lot like Eureka's Castle.
I mean, yes. We have a choice between Heidi Klum coming to visit Crew Stadium or
Free Sliders.
Sliders.
Yeah.
This is one of
honestly would take the sliders.
This is honestly, yeah, this is a giant dilemma for me.
Right,
I don't know which way to go on it, quite honestly.
I'll take Papa John's, too.
You'll take Papa John's as well?
Yes.
Papa John's slash White Castle Stadium.
Explain this to me. I don't want to take too
much Papa John's should have a White Castle pizza.
That would be fantastic. I would buy more
Papa
John's at that point.
Just had this disturbed look on his face.
I don't even want to talk about it.
A slider pie.
A slider pie.
Papa John's.
Thank you. I'm bringing that to the next cookout.
I do want to mention while Justin recovers himself, another announcement that was made that was very kind of on the DL, but I'm actually very excited about it for next season. Yellow Boy, who is runs a food truck in town, is going to be inside the stadium this year. He announced that he worked out a deal with the Crew and will be selling Polish Boys, which if you've never had a Polish Boy, it's a sausage covered with French fries, coleslaw, and barbecue sauce. And it's absolutely fantastic. So I wanted to give him a quick plug as Rick just goes to exactly where I expected him to go with that. I'm just going to be honest with it. But
dude, man, I am so in the gutter tonight, it's not even funny.
I'm well aware. That's usually
I think he's only had like two beers.
I know.
Or two apple juices.
Behind
bringing
everyone.
The Polish boy back to soccer, why don't we call them Conrads?
This is the time where I wish I had a sound effects thing on my phone right now because what a print.
Oh,
so
come get your Conrads.
Come get your Conrads.
Not off the grill.
Wow.
So we've got the you know the goal 10K. I do want to touch on this briefly. We're gonna talk about this a lot more next week, just mostly because of timing issues. But the Crew really building on what they had last year. And the other thing is not as a slight on them at all, but really as an opportunity that's potential for them to capitalize on. I was reading an article, and the Blue Jackets actually went down by 1,000 season ticket holders during the lockout. And whether that's and obviously they're doing incredibly well now. And as somebody who goes to a lot of Blue Jackets games, I hope that continues. They're only 4 points out of the playoff race at this point, and so that's really good as far as the Blue Jackets go, and as far as Columbus in general goes. But I kind of want to, you know, get everybody's thoughts on that because it is really an opportunity because that is entertainment money that's out there that's not really being spent.
Having the perspective of being an outsider, but, you know, not from here.
Yeah.
What I've seen about Central Ohio, and when it comes to supporting teams, if you're not the Scarlet and Gray, OSU, fans are very fickle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to win for them to be in. They're going to spend their money if you put a winning product on the pitch, on the ice, wherever it is, that's where they're going to spend their money.
I think you have to win, and they have to know you exist. I think that's the two-pronged attack there because
they go hand in hand.
Because you have, you know, the 2018, the 2019 definitely won a lot of matches as far as that goes. But I don't think the marketing was there. I think this year, if this club can continue to or can build off of what they've started here and really win a lot at home. Which is hugely important, you know, for that. coupled with the fact that they're really, for the first time, I mean, in the last year, really have started doing some legitimate kind of marketing that creates an impression and is meaningful to people. I think that's really going to...
I think the fact that they didn't make the playoffs last year could have been a really detrimental hit to the team. However, at I think what was the highest renewal rate for season tickets in MLS, they were at 90% renewal rate.
Yeah.
I think that really, really helps them in saying, hey, people are not bailing out on us. They're kind of staying with the team. How can we much improve on that? So if they increase from last year and they missed the playoffs last year, that's a very good thing. You got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, I agree completely. So we're going to touch on that. We're going to have a little bit more on that, including some numbers and some different things along those lines, and really kind of delve into that next week. But I did want to just kind of touch on it because we had talked about it before. The other thing is that I wanted to talk about. Obviously, first kick at home, Cruzmas. Is this Saturday, 5:30 against the San Jose Clash? Is that what they are? The Clash?
Isn't that the Miami?
The Earthquakes. No, they were the Clash. I actually saw a guy in a Dallas Burn jersey yesterday at work. That was kind of weird.
And if we beat them,
yes.
Or should I say when we beat them? Although it's still up in the air. They will henceforth be known as the San Jose Quivers versus the Quakes.
Remember Quake and Crisp cereal?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Now you're
Justin's now just thinking about cereal for the next 20 minutes. A lot of events, though, coming up this week that I do want to touch on. Tomorrow is the big supporters summit where Mark McCullers is going to give...
Or tonight if you're listening to us on Tuesday.
Yeah, tonight if you're listening to us on Tuesday. Tomorrow if it's today. Mark McCullers is going to give basically the Nordeca an hour and a half of unfiltered access to him.
Ouch.
Which is, ouch. I do believe...
Hopefully they hired some extra CSC to make sure that... Because it's McCullers, Warziha, and Bliss.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's not just McCullers.
Yeah. I've kind of vowed to just stand at the back and just take it all in.
I'm going
to
give you a video camera. We gotta see this.
It's gonna be really, really.
We're a Happy Family by the Ramones just popped into my head.
It's gonna be really interesting though, and I think it's good. I think that there's gonna be a lot of good conversation to come out of this. I think you're probably gonna get two guys that ask really, really dumb technical questions about the Vancouver game, and then I think the rest of it's probably gonna be productive. But what do you guys think about that? Because that's really the first time the team's ever done something like that.
That's really not actually. They used to do a really, really open supporter summit back in 2009 and 2010. That was like open to the public. You didn't have to RSVP. You didn't have to do anything. But you just showed up. And they've packed out places before.
But what I'm talking, I'm not talking about. I know that those existed before. But what I'm talking about is that it's very geared towards stadium atmosphere. It's very geared towards the issues that the Crew and the supporters groups have kind of butted heads on. That's what I mean by unique about this year.
Exactly. I think they're going to butt heads at the summit.
Oh, I agree.
I think there's going to be some definitely headbutting. Actually, I think the stadium atmosphere takes becomes the main issue, and anything regarding the coaching staff will be on the back burner.
Yeah.
I really do think that's what's going to happen tomorrow.
And it should be like that. I mean, there should be tension. There really should be. I know that they don't want to be tension. They don't want tension. You know, last year when Don Garber was there, I remember, I admit it. I went up, I got my picture taken with Don Garber. It's Don Garber. I know. I was like, hey, dude. And I gave him the thumbs up. I was like, hey, check it out. But, and I had it as my Facebook profile for a little while. I'll admit it. But the one thing that Don Garber
said... You're losing some street cred here, dude.
You're losing a lot of street cred.
Honestly, I was kind of surprised by the way Don Garber wanted to ask me a legitimate question. Just as a one-on-one. No cameras, nobody else was around. Just, I went up to him and was like, hey, I just want to say, hey, nice to meet you. I asked him a question. I'm not going to repeat what the question was. But he asked me a question in return.
So what was his question to you?
One of the things he asked me after we talked for a little bit, he said, how can I how can I be more welcome here?
Well, so he knows how we feel about him.
He's like, you know, he's like, I know you guys, you know, give me some stick when I'm here, but that wasn't his exact phrase.
Some stick.
But that was kind of his what he was getting at. Like, you know, how can I be more welcome here? And I gave him a couple suggestions, but I know they want to be, you know, suits and paying, you know, supporters. They want to reach out to us and say, hey, how can we get along that? That's fine. Getting along is fine, but there's also that tension that needs to be there. You know, there always needs to be this push and pull that needs to happen for a live stadium atmosphere. And so, I mean, I like the fact that this is happening.
Yeah.
And I hope that there are some legit questions that come out and that they are willing to answer, and that Robert's responses to some legit questions are more than one syllable.
That would be nice.
That would be really, really cool. Engage with us, please.
Yeah. I agree. And then Wednesday, and Sam, you were talking about this a little bit, and I think this is going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday is Media Day.
Yes.
Fill me in on that, because I'm not considered media.
No.
Nobody loves me.
Well, this
and
is...
I feel shame.
This is an event for credentialed media, and basically what the crew's doing is... from what I understand, is something the Jackets have been doing for years.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been, as I said, this is my sixth year covering the crew, and I've been a member of the media for four of them, and this is the first time I've seen or heard anything about it. I don't know if it's happened before. Patrick would probably be a better person to answer that, but it's really cool. They're allowing some open, unrestrained, as far as we know, access to... the players mm-hmm. for one-on-one interviews. They're allowing some very open and unrestrained access to the front office staff. They are basically taking care of their media guys the way I think should have been happening for years when this team was suffering from absolute lack of access. Not lack of access, I mean lack of publicity in any shape or form.
It's a
showcase. Bloggers. It is.
And that's what the Blue Jackets have done for years with their media day. And they always do it usually preseason or during the preseason before the regular season gets going. But it's always a media luncheon, non-practice day. You have players there. You have the general manager there. So it's the crew, whether it's taking a page from that, opening up more, trying to get the media, which I think we are very much all in agreement on. It's OSU-centric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, TV, radio, the whole nine yards. they're trying to get more of the media involved as far as, hey, cover us.
Yeah.
We're giving you this access. We're fetting you on this day.
Well, they're actually allowing the media to be there for an entire practice, which practice usually runs about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Usually the media is allowed there the second half of practice, which is usually just, scrimmages and stuff like that. But for this one, they're allowing the media to be there for the entire practice from beginning to end and allowing them even that much more access. I don't think that's going to be a regular thing, but I do think that this is a fantastic step. I really think it's a new era of how this team is going to get covered. I think it's just going in step with improvement in marketing, improvement in access, improvement in a lot of things, and I think this is another step in that same direction.
The one thing that when I was working in radio in Dayton, the one thing that I really appreciated that the Blue Jackets did was even to the external media markets, we didn't have necessarily access to the media day per se, but what we did have was once a year, one of the preseason games in Columbus, the Blue Jackets would invite anybody who wanted to come down from any of the radio stations that were affiliated with any of their affiliates, not just the sports talk station that ran the Blue
Jackets
game. Any radio station that was owned by a Blue Jackets network partner, come down. They had two of the tower suites, full spread. Basically these little goodie bags of, you know, essentially media guides, player info on opponents, things along those lines, and then just random autographed items in it, which was actually pretty sweet. And then what they did was because I was the marketing director at that radio station for a while, they emailed me and asked me the shirt size for every person that was on air that worked for the radio station, and they sent everyone jerseys.
Oh, wow.
And it was, they did that for 2 years, which is why I how I got two of my four Blue Jackets jerseys that I own.
The truth comes out.
Well, no, they're free, you know? Why aren't you going to take them? But it was one of those things where it really put a lot of the people who weren't really, you know, who were big Bengals fans in Dayton or big Reds fans or that sort of stuff, it got their mindset on to the Blue Jackets. And I think that, you know, that's really important.
Can I say just how that illustrates how completely different sports journalism is from everything else?
Yeah.
I mean, you are buying people off to pay attention to you.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody plays that game.
Yeah, I think it's a situation of. I think it's a situation of now. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you know, and when you have, you know,
I'm asking
the Goliath,
for a little integrity. That's all I'm asking for.
There's no integrity in sports journalism. You have the Goliath of Ohio State in your town. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, the thing is, we were talking about this a few weeks ago about when Smitty and like 97.1 were talking. You know, we were talking about them and their response to the crew and how they treat the crew. You know, I think about this. Like, how many people in the city cover Ohio State? Like
a small
radio,
village,
television, yeah. Print, internet, and how many of those people broke the Terrell Pryor story about the tattoo? A big old freaking zero.
Yeah.
Out of all those people, zero people. Why? Because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, you go out, that's the reason why. They don't want to lose their access. They don't want to lose their swag bags. They don't want to lose all this stuff.
Yeah. It's a very...
It's a little digression, but it makes me kind of want to, like, hurt people.
It's a very valid point. We need to talk real quick about the actual match coming up.
Well, let's talk about the couple of other events that are happening this week.
Let's do that.
And then we'll actually, let's go another segment that's 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's fine. So let's talk about, we've got Friday night, 4th Street, the big Christmas Eve party with Crew Union. Always a good time. And I think...
If you follow Frankie on Twitter or follow the Crew's Twitter and Instagrams, they're going to be dropping clues to where Frankie is, and you can go and get some tickets to the season opener.
So it's
Find
the Freak.
It's Find the Freak, yeah. Yes. And if you know anything about Frankie, just be in the general area and you'll hear his voice.
Yeah.
Or you'll see him running past you or something like that.
Or he'll come up to you with an awesome idea about something.
Yes, and he'll give you
that's
tickets.
That's also
and he'll
something
run
that Frankie
with,
does a lot.
He might be running up and down High Street with a flag. You never know.
You think he probably would.
So
that's definitely a point. So and then Christmas Eve, that's going on at 4th Street. Party that Crew Union throws.
Huge
and definitely head out to that.
Some players
fun.
Show up. Some front office staff will show up. Your favorite ticket rep might be there, just hanging out, having a brew.
But I do want to give...
There's a ton of food, too, that's going to be there, and it's free.
I do want to give out a big shout-out to Clark Beacom for showing up at Hendocks.
For the Chivas game.
That was pretty awesome. So big shout out to Clark Beacom.
As Matt does, if you don't know who Clark Beacom is, he is the vice president
of ticket sales for
the Columbus Crew.
And an all around awesome guy.
Yes.
We like Clark.
He walked in, hanging out, not wearing, you know, just coming out, wanting,
not handing out business cards.
Yeah, not
just
handing out business
just
cards.
Having
just
having a beer. Hanging out.
Watching the game.
He was drinking a whole bottle of Jack Daniels, which I'm glad that he got in a cab after. Oh, no, no, he didn't do that. That was a lie.
All right.
That was a lie. So we're going to come back here on the other side of the break. We're going to come back on the other side of the break, and we're going to break down the match against the Goonies. It's coming up next. This is the Massive Report.
When we left off last time, Cindy was trapped by pirates, being drowned by the treacherous waters. And then she found the Goonies. No, the Goonies. That's right. Mats. Yes, matching mats. The Goonies, as you... The Goonies, no, they're captured by pirates. Even Steven Spielberg couldn't help them. Run, Cindy, run. And Dave and Wendy went to find her because them cheating creditors sent them packets. Look at this. Oh, poor mom and pop. Everyone who hangs out with Cindy is in such trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a catastrophe.
Yeah.
just do that?
That was the best intro ever.
It's back on the Massive Report, segment four tonight. Is that the actual video for the Cyndi Lauper Goonies Are Good Enough? Is that the beginning of it?
No, I doubt it.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life, or heard,
well,
for that matter.
I don't know. It could be, because she kind of, like, rolled right into it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll post the link to the video if people want to give us their opinion on MassiveReport.com.
So, crew versus...
You don't want to watch it.
Yeah, right. Seriously,
Rick
you
was
don't.
Trying to slit his wrist sitting here.
He was.
I kept giving him instruments to do it, and he was just, you know... Apparently he's not very good at it.
But they totally missed Justin's dancing.
Justin was dancing. Yeah. That was pretty fantastic.
If we get enough requests, maybe we'll do this as a live video feed.
Oh, nobody wants to see us. I mean, seriously, my girlfriend's here. She doesn't even want to see me.
They might not want to see us, but they might want to see our shenanigans.
That's a good point. So, crew versus Smurfquakes this weekend, 5:30 at Hunt Park.
Smurfquakes.
I love that.
Now I want cereal again. Dang it.
Quakes and crisps.
So obviously first home match of the year, which is pretty darn huge. A lot of stuff going on against a Western Conference opponent, which is going to be interesting.
During rivalry week.
Yeah. I do want to kind of touch
only
on that.
That is not a rivalry at all.
It's more of a pleasant exchanging of disagreement, more than anything else.
I dislike you, sir.
Let's play soccer. How do we get stuck with that?
I think it was an afterthought.
Yeah.
MLS doesn't. They don't consider Columbus.
They don't
about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a rival.
It's any major sports league is going to look at the teams. They're going to say, "What have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone deep into the playoffs? Have you won the ultimate prize, the MLS Cup?" You know, those are the teams that are going to get the accolades, going to get the rivalries, going to get the national television.
But I'm not.
What has the crew in the last few years done? They haven't done anything yet.
Banging the national television deal drum. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that happen. These are the other matches this week. Red Bull versus DC makes sense. Sporting Chicago makes sense. Montreal Toronto. Makes sense. Philly, New England. Really? Philly and New England are rivals now?
I guess.
Okay.
Closer than it's proximity. San Jose and Columbus.
Well,
no, fair enough.
76ers Celtics battles were just unbelievable.
Hold on. Had to be there.
You had to see it live.
You had to see it live. Salt Lake, Colorado. Sounders, Timbers. Dynamo, Dallas, and Galaxy Chives.
We've got San Jose.
We've got San Jose. The other thing is that, you know, you look at it, Vancouver does not play during rivalry week.
Yeah.
Who's the rival?
Wow.
Well, they're a secondary rival for both
Portland and Seattle.
And Montreal and Toronto.
Yeah.
They're not the primary rival for any of those teams. And so I guess that's why they're the odd man out, and we have 19 teams in the league.
You know, and I bet San Jose's guys, you know, if they do a podcast, but I bet San Jose's people going, "We have to go play Columbus on rivalry week?"
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, no, kind of, it doesn't make sense for either team. Yeah, it completely doesn't make sense for either team.
I mean, it's rivalry week for MLS, but for us, it's...
It's another game.
It's a match.
It's week three.
The same way
week
first
three.
Kick takes like a month to be played out.
Although I guess technically our rivalry week is the week after against DC.
See, that's, yeah.
And I guess that's the silver lining we can pull from that is we do have, you know, the next two matches, Philadelphia less so, but definitely the week right after is DC.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you have to get through San Jose first.
Yeah,
we have rivals coming up. And it's always going to be the case. But looking at San Jose right now, it's not a cakewalk.
No, not at all.
Even with the players that they have out due to injury and whatnot right now, it's not going to be a cakewalk for the crew.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. And they do have, you know, you've got Leonard's not playing right now, which Leonard's supporters group in Columbus may not make the trip from the retirement home. No, I think this is a cool story. I'm not at all making fun of these. I'm not making fun of these ladies. He does the and I'm not remembering the name of the charity. What do you remember what it's called, Sam?
Hats for Homies.
Yeah, Hats for Homies. That's what it's called. And he does this thing where he goes around and knits hats. And he hooked up with when he played here. He does.
He doesn't really go around it again.
Well, he doesn't go.
He gets elderly people to
knit hats for. No, yes. He knits. No, yeah. He does. Too, he yeah. does knit. No. And he went to this retirement home after I think somebody at the retirement home. One of the residents there was like, "Hey, we've got a lot of people that knit, and we want to kind of help you with this." And so he would go like a couple of times a month. When he was playing in Columbus, to this specific retirement home, yeah. Hang out with all these people and knit with them. And the last time the crew played San Jose after he had been traded in Columbus, which was 2 years ago, they all showed up in Earthquakes gear. Like, they all showed up in Stephen Leonard Earthquakes gear. And it was pretty cool. He had his own little 75-plus supporters group.
And they had black and yellow signs.
Yes, they did. They had black and yellow signs, but Earthquake shirts. And it was cool.
And
I mean, it was...
One of the cool things happen that you always see with some of these players from, you know, the crew, from crew pass. You know, everyone chants, you know, Columbus Reject, blah, 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 blah. You know, but they always come over and...
Yeah.
They always, you know... Kind of
they recognize
rebond what, with yeah. us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like no, Alejandro Moreno has done it every year since 2009.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Stephen Leonhardt.
Adam Moffitt probably would be the Moffitt. Same one.
Yeah. Frankie, when he was with LA, he made Bruce Arena livid because he was still outside, like, signing autographs 2 hours after the game.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arena's like, "We have a charter. We need to get back to L.A.
Oh,
and Frankie's freaking blah, blah, blah. Lots of perfect. This is a PG podcast. I can't say what he said.
It's at least PG-13. So.
I will say, I actually miss Lenny. I've known mm-hmm. Lenhart quite a bit, and he's a great guy. He's off the field. Like, his persona on the field, and people absolutely hate them if they play against him and love him if he plays for them. His persona off the field is the complete opposite of anything mm-hmm. you see of Stephen Lenhart on the field. But I wish him the best in quick recovery
yeah.
from whatever is ailing him.
Well, especially since he's not going to recover by Saturday, so we're not going to have to face him. So, yeah, most definitely go out and trounce the West.
I hope he comes to Columbus just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you look at who's going to be in for the Earthquakes.
Yeah.
I mean, Wondolowski, I mean, MVP right there.
No, he's dangerous.
Their rookie, Adam John.
Yeah.
That kid's dangerous, too. Has a goal, played two games. Taken the supplemental draft by San Jose.
No, exactly.
He's going to be a dangerous threat. My question is, with the injury that Gavin had that kept him out of the Vancouver match, is he going to be well enough, healthy enough, to play in this match with Arrieta, you know, looking like he's being called up to the national team for Costa Rica?
Well, and that's a great question. And the other thing that you've got is you've got John Bush with San Jose, who John Bush, if nothing else, will bring it for the Columbus game. He still has, and I know he lives here, and I know, you know, he loves the city of Columbus, but he still, you know, for all intents and purposes, still has a chip on his shoulder from you know, 5-6 years ago at this point, when he was dealt because of the Hesmer deal. And so you've got a lot of that stuff going on as well. So there are a lot of storylines going on with the San Jose Earthquakes. So it should be... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying... The Arrieta, because I just got, you know, I didn't see this before I got here. Arrieta did get called up to the Costa Rica team.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When does that start?
I'm going to say midweek, later this week. It's before the match.
I don't know, I'd have to look it up.
It's the first U.S. match is the 22nd.
In Denver.
So I would guess that the rest of the Hex also kind of follows that. So I would guess their first match is the 22nd
so
as well.
So is he leaving before? He is leaving before San Jose.
I think he's
going to
be leaving before San Jose.
I would,
from what I understood.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I would. I wonder if the crew can work out something where he leaves like right after the game, as opposed to before the game.
Because I saw a tweet,
especially with it being the home opener.
Yeah.
Before coming down to Hendox here, that in the event that he does get called up, Ryan Finley is looking like he might be.
I could see that.
Was gonna be
I could see that.
Who's that going
to
be?
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at from this game is to see improvement over the mistakes that happened in the last game. Home opener should be a pretty decent crowd. It should be a damn good crowd.
Yeah.
And people
should
are pumped.
A sellout.
People are, yeah, the weather might be hit or miss, but people are pumped. People are ready to come out. And I think they're going to bring it. and I really hope that the crew responds in turn and also brings it.
This is one of the good questions, though. I mean, I agree with you. I think Ryan Finley looks like he's going to be the guy who would step in for that, and that's sort of strange. I mean, that's surprising on some level because he's a rookie. And I'm wondering, you know, what do you guys think of that move if he's the guy who plays? Because I mean, I like Justin Meram a lot. I really do. I think, you know, after the game on Saturday, I said, you know, Justin Meram did score goals in MLS last year, right?
Yeah.
That did happen.
Yeah, that happened.
I did not imagine that. And the guy's an attacking player. I think his first inclination is always to attack. And I think that's great for somebody in a... That's a good attribute for somebody in a 4-4-1-1 like we tend to play. I like Finley's... I like the way Finley looks.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if Finley is quite ready to be that number one, that tip of the spear, so to speak, on a Major League Soccer side.
Going with the Warziha, the first four games of the regular season are still the preseason theory.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in his preseason mode. So why wouldn't Ryan Finley start?
It's a good question. I can't think of
any
reason.
Well, I mean, what do you think are the alternatives?
Well,
outside of Miram, outside of saying Miram plays in Schoenfeld, tall, header, right. Centric.
Experienced.
I don't know about experience. I mean, experienced in the reserve league. I'll give the reserve league and the college game about...
Finley?
Yeah.
I'll give the college, the reserve league, and the college and college play about the same.
Yeah, I mean, their experience is probably about the same.
Yeah, the other person would be Ethan Finley.
Yeah.
I mean, he did play forward.
He scored more goals than anybody in the offseason.
And then he's a guy who I think has been lost. I mean, I really like that guy's, Ethan Finley's, what I've seen. I think he's a player who we should maybe have a spot for at some point. I don't know where, though.
But I mean, how is the crew going to look right now if Arrieta makes the trip and leaves before the San Jose game on Saturday, and Gavin isn't healthy enough to play?
I think if Arrieta's gone for national team duty before that, to me, Ryan Finley, I think they're going to put it. I think he gets.
And I think
Spies
is going to play for Gavin.
Yeah, I think Spies will be in as well. Yeah, but I don't see Bobby putting anybody else in. That seems like Bobby's. I don't want to say flavor of the month because I don't want to discount Ryan Finley and his abilities. I'm not. But you know, flavor of the week maybe.
But he does. But he gets attached to a certain player.
He does. He gets crushes. Little man crushes.
But then
when
he gets past that crush. He sets them on the shelf and never touches them again.
Yeah, and then they get angry
unless,
and cry to their
other
agent.
People get hurt.
Yeah. You know.
I think Kevin Burns' nickname was Man Crush, wasn't it?
Kevin Man Crush Burns.
I mean, the bottom line, whoever comes in for Arrieta or Gavin, if he's not healthy enough to play, they've got to bring it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team, too. Higuain, in the Vancouver match, tried to do too much himself.
Yeah.
And he can't do that. Every single week.
I agree.
Because the team has to step up their game.
Well, he can't do it because he's just going to make himself even more of a target than he already is.
Sure.
And he's just
And he's going to end up with broken ankles.
Yeah, and he's going to be marginalized. Even notwithstanding that, he's going to be marginalized as far as that goes. So it's important to try to spread the play out. And it's important to try to find other playmakers as well so that all of the offense is not going through Higuain. Because if that's the case... You shut Higuain down. You shut the offense down.
Which is what some teams did with Scalotto.
Yeah.
Until other team members decided to, get their game. Yeah.
Exactly. So, real quick before we wrap this thing up and put it to bed, what do you guys think is going to happen on Saturday?
Oy.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting you on the spot.
Are we talking the team that played the Vancouver match, the one that played Chivas, or are we talking about...
An amalgamation of the two. Yes, at home.
1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. All right. What do you think, Sam?
1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Justin? By
the way, there's going to be some sweet t-shirts in the stands. That's what I'm going to say.
That's right.
And they're coming off by halftime, baby.
I don't know. Hey, you know what? I'm optimistic. I say we win 3-2. Yes.
All right. I am going to say 7-6. No.
All offense, no defense.
I am going to say I'm going to say we win 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1.
We're going to win
2-1.
We're going to win 2-1. That's what's going to happen.
From the crack staff. The crack. The Massive Report
or the staff on crack. We're not 100% sure yet. We'll find out next week.
Crack is whack, baby.
Crack is whack. So for everybody, for Sam, for Rick, for Justin, for the $2 drafts.
Yes.
I'm drinking
for
water.
For Hendocks.
We have for Adam, who's here again.
For Adam, who's here again.
Cheers to Adam.
Cheers to Adam. For my girlfriend, Jasmine, who's been studying on her note cards for a test that she has next week all night long.
And the politically incorrect shirt I'm wearing.
And the politically incorrect shirt you're wearing. For Willie the bartender, who didn't have to throw anyone out tonight.
Yes.
For no Smelliot, who showed up twice because he went home halfway through and then realized he was really drunk and wanted to go back to the bar.
That's what happens when you live 5 minutes away.
What's that?
You're going to be running into Dan Bidby next week.
Week after next. I'll be here for next week's podcast. But for the fact I'm going to England in a couple of weeks.
And we love you all.
This has been the Massive Report. And I can't drive 55.